everybody, to the Jibber Jabber podcast. As always, my name is Kevin, and joined today with J-Mac, as always. And today we are also chatting to a filmmaker from Brooklyn. His name is Chad Lawson Cooper. And today we're discussing the movie he made that you can find everywhere in the world on Amazon Prime. And the movie is called Justice on Trial, the movie, 2020. J-Mac, you excited?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation. It's a conversation that I never imagined that we'd be having about a film that honestly would never have even came on my radar if it wasn't for this podcast. So it's, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation. It should be fun. It's an interesting film with a very interesting message and some stories in there that might take you by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not usually our bag, but it's good. We enjoy that when we get told, you know, there's a movie you guys need to check out. We go watch it, and sometimes you can have a bit of mixed feeling about it. It's not. There are things in it that you can appreciate for sure, and we do. You know, we appreciate, you know, someone took the time to make that and to send a message to everybody via this media platform known as a movie. And I think movies should. I mean, you got your fun movies. But it's great when you can get a movie that does pass on knowledge, real events, and kind of leave you with a bit of a thought afterwards. And this movie definitely does that. So we're going to go ahead and bring in Chad and enjoy.
Slavery gave America a fear of black people and a taste for violent punishment.
I was beaten! Shot!
African Americans are suing the United States government for reparations.
You are clearly one eyelash away being held in contempt. Do you understand me?
Alicia Robinson Cooper as Harriet Tubman, Chad Cooper II as Emmett Till, Lane Harper as Medgar Evers.
We are asking for $6.4 trillion.
Just get everything cleaned up and get this Negro the hell out of here.
I don't see any reason why we should be given $6 trillion for something that happened 200 years ago.
First of all, it didn't happen 200 years ago. It started 200 years ago.
Unless the government agrees to be sued, it can't be. And guess what? The government does not agree. So case closed.
Streaming online July 4th at www.justiceontrialthemovie.com. Also available on Vimeo and Amazon Prime.
Chad Lawson Cooper, thank you very much for coming on the Jibber Jabber podcast. It's nice to see you.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be with you guys.
Hi, Thaddeus. Your shoe's untied. At least this time they're matching.
That's funny. From a guy wearing a skinny leg suit like you.
Real funny. Tell your gal not to speak to me. Her mother used to be the help for my family, and yeah. I was told never to fraternize with
her. Look, she's a prominent physician who just happened to save your father's life, and you don't talk to her that way. Next time you talk to anybody like that, you're going to get quit.
Justice on Trial, which is the movie 2020. So you created this back, and did you start filming this in 2019? And then, because it was released in February 2020.
That's correct. Yeah. I started pre-production, early part of 2019. And then we actually started production in November of 2019 with the hopes of having it done by the end of 2020. But we ended up actually finishing the filming in February of 2020. So that gave a lot of opportunity for us to put a lot of the stuff that happened, like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, into the movie. So it seems so, you know, current.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The movie itself, give us a kind of brief synopsis of what the film's about, just to give the listeners an idea of what kind of film we're looking at.
Sure. It's about two civil rights attorneys suing the U.S. Justice Department for reparations and damages done to African Americans. As you know, slavery was such a big part of the early part of America when it came to the economy and building the infrastructure. And a lot of Black people were used or taken from Africa and used as indentured servants. And so the two civil rights attorneys, one is played by Todd Bridges. You may know him from the hit TV show Different Strokes back in the day with Arnold, and Arnold, they were brothers, and this guy, this white, rich white guy, Mr. Drummond, adopted him. He's one of the civil rights attorneys. And then another Caucasian guy, excellent actor, John Guzman, plays the lead civil rights attorney. And they sue the U.S. Justice Department for the reparations and ongoing damages to African Americans in this country. And it goes to a mixed jury, Black, white, and Hispanic, that represents, the majority of the population here. And they hear the past and all the way up into the current of the mistreatment coupled with the slavery. And then they have to deliberate and see if it's worthy of any type of reparation. So it's a very interesting educational and motivational piece.
Yeah. I mean, the aspect that I found really interesting was the idea of bringing these historical Black figures in to be witnesses for the prosecution against the U.S. justice system. And that was a really interesting idea. How did you come up with that?
That's funny you asked. I'd have to say I'm a Christian believer, so I believe in God. And it was the day that Philando Castell, who lived in Minnesota, was murdered by a cop. And I happened to be in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., and it brought tears to my eyes. I sat down and cried, and the whole concept just came to me out of the blue. So like, you need to do something in your field, which is, you know, arts, theater, and film. And the whole idea, I can't take credit for it. It just came. It was, I call it a God idea. And those three characters came to mind, which was Harriet Tubman to represent the slave era. Medgar Evers, which represented the Jim Crow era. When I say the Jim Crow, that's after the slave era. There was still a lot of mistreatment, deprived from voting, segregation. And then Emmett Till, to me, represented the time and space that's we still deal with, which is like the George Floyds. And so those three just came to me like that.
It's actually crazy. Obviously in Scotland, we don't experience it the same way as Americans do, right? So when I was watching the movie and upon like discussion with J-Mac, I actually said, you know, like, can you imagine if these stories were actually real? And Jordan actually told Kevin, those actually happened, you know? And I found that I was like, it just kind of seemed to me when watching it that, like, of course that wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? But to kind of shed light that, well, wait a minute, this kind of stuff did actually happen, was a bit of an eye opener for myself.
Yeah, yeah, it happened, and the thing about it, it's still happening. Mm-hmm. It's still happening in certain parts of the country when you have a president that can incite a riot, that can take over our capital and can kill police with the intent on killing the lawmakers in this country. It's still happening.
Yeah. It's just scary times. we're obviously looking at it from an outsider's perspective. Mm-hmm. The movement has made its way over here somewhat, but it's not anything like it is over there. So we are definitely outsiders on the whole situation. Now, the first thing you did was you put it to page and you made it a stage play. Now, the play, it's, how did you go from turning it from the stage show into the screenplay?
Well, that was kind of difficult because the stage play is so animated. And so that's the, if everything in theater is, you know, it's bigger than film.
Yeah.
And so we had to dumb down some of the characters in order to make it more realistic.
Right.
So it was a process. It was a process of changing the screenplay, the stage play script to a screenplay.
Right.
Yeah. So I have a team of advisors to help me do that.
I mean, there was definitely elements of the film where it did feel like it's something you would see on stage. Now the just some of the dialogue and stuff that like you could tell that it was more, it felt more like a play. I've seen movies like that before and it does work. Now the first challenge about putting a movie together, I'm assuming, would be to find the budget for it. Now is this something that you self-financed or did you have to get backing for it?
Yes, I self-financed it.
Damn. Right.
Me and my father, actually.
Oh. He and if you don't mind me asking, what did the budget end up being on the movie? Or did you go over budget?
Well, definitely over budget. it was several hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
these numbers just don't compute in my head.
No, not at all. But I suppose you'd be, it's kind of the value of the money compared to the value of the message that you're creating. I suppose you would have paid a lot more if it was.
Exactly. You know, I'm studying film and TV as well at NYU, New York University. And so I let some of my peers, you know, see the movie and you know, I would have liked to have, you know, had a $2 or $3 million budget for it. And it would have been, you know, the cinematography would have been on even a whole different level. But their response was that their message was so good, they didn't really even pay that much attention to the cinematography because the message kept them. Yeah.
And the casting process, how did you, I know that, I think you, Cole had told us that your father is in the movie. He plays the judge. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. He does. He is a bona fide retired Supreme Court justice out of the state of Connecticut, one of the New England states. Yep.
Mm, wow.
And how was that working with your father on the project?
Wonderful, because we have such a wonderful relationship that it was absolutely amazing to see him be who he is on screen, sometimes funny. He didn't know that filming would be so hard, though, because you have to do so many takes from different angles to get the right fit.
Mm. I think, Jordan, you were telling me that is it your wife as well was the singer in the movie?
Yes, she played Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing, yep.
Oh, wow. So I suppose it's
a family affair.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. But she does an amazing job, even in the stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the highlights.
Yeah, yep. For sure. And what was the biggest... Yeah, yep. For sure. What was the biggest challenges you kind of came up against when you were filming the movie itself? Was it was it more technical issues or casting?
More technical, and the limited space in the and time in the venue, especially the courtroom venue, because it's difficult to use a municipal building, daytime and while business is going on. So we had limited hours and a limited amount of days that we could use it. So trying to cram all of what we needed in that short space was nerve wracking. And then we had to go back because some of the technical, like the sound didn't sync with the film. And we had to go back and do certain scenes over again. You're talking about a ton of people having to travel back, to that particular spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that any film ever goes 100% to plan. But it's certainly, it's something we've heard before. There's always challenges that come with making the film. Now, in the respect of casting the kind of main characters, did you see a lot of actors for these parts, or was it quite a kind of small focus group of people that you had to choose from?
I would say for the main characters, a small focus group, because I already had in mind who we wanted. To accompany my alma mater, Florida A&M University, which we call FAMU. I was out in Los Angeles promoting the play in the summer of 2019, and I ran across another alumni that was in Los Angeles that saw me presenting the play and singing, promoting the play at his church. And they do casting a lot of Hollywood actors. So that's how we got Todd Bridges, Dorian Wilson from the Parkers, the Monique show, and some of the casting. So they helped out in that way.
And you actually... So some of this, did you start before COVID and kind of finish it up throughout that? Or did you actually start just as kind of lockdown began?
We started before COVID and we ended the week before the country shut down.
All right. Woof. Right.
So that was principal photography was done in that time. Or was that including your post-production as well?
Well, the post-production was done during COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. When they post-production editing, the sound, the mastering, the colorization, the coloring of the movie, all of that was done after, well, during COVID, rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did any of the Caucasian actors in the movie, did any of them kind of express any feelings about the lines that they were having to say, and did any of them have reservations about the things they were having to do?
Well, of course, the gentleman that plays the social justice attorney, very passionate. You probably saw in the beginning where the two Caucasian lawyers were fighting. Both of them are very passionate. The one that was representing the United States of America's Justice Department, he is totally opposite of that character. That it almost makes him mad every time he plays it, but he does such a darn good job. Yeah. Arquilla is his name, and he's amazing. He's an amazing actor.
For me, the part where kind of summed up his character was when they were talking about the young fella that had been he got his eye gouged out for whistling at someone's wife, right? And his basic response was, well, he must have done something to deserve that. And that for me was the sum up of the kind of character that he was trying to play. It's just one of those,
He definitely
came across as a complete slime ball. there's no other way to describe it. Even the way he had his hair, you're just, I don't know, it's just one of these guys that you'd like to slap.
Which is good. It's always good when someone does that, right?
If you give me a copy of this interview, I'll make sure he gets a copy.
Well, that's always good to know. How long did it take you to write the script? The conversion from the play to the screenplay, how long did that take you?
About 4 months to convert it to a screenplay.
Right.
Yeah. And now to write the play version, it took me about a year.
Hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. And is that writing and then a number of rewrites and
edits that you need? Absolutely. I didn't write the jury part until we actually started rehearsing the play. I wrote it as we were going because I didn't really, I needed to see the people that would be playing it. And so you notice the Caucasian heavy set lady that was like, I'll be glad when Trump nails that wall.
He told us to go back to Africa.
Well, honey, if there's a boat going, you need to be the first one on it.
You know, I'm not sick of you. How about I put your fat ass?
Yeah, I know plenty of people like her, actually.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite lines is when she tells the girl, you know, I had enough of you. If the boat going, honey, you need to be the first one on it.
You know, it's we're laughing.
Response was, you know, I don't know if I had enough of your fat ass. Why don't you get on?
yeah, that girl had some fire in her belly, didn't she? She was good. That actress, she was good.
This is the case 212-020, the African American people of the United States versus the United States Department of Justice.
Thank you, bailiff. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, during this trial, evidence will be presented from which you must determine the facts.
Well, everyone can find it there on Amazon Prime,
which
is good. The listeners should go ahead and check that out. You know, now you've made the movie and it's on a streaming service. Is there more you'd like to do with it? Obviously, I don't see a sequel playing in it, but is there more that you'd maybe like to kind of to take it to the next level, or are you kind of happy where it sits?
Well, I see it kind of my next plans for Justice on Trial would be to see it as a series, a mini series. I think we can do a whole bunch of stories. And take the time to do seasons of different stories that will bring more knowledge as to what people went through, these real factual stories, to the forefront and a great comparison as to what we're still dealing with. You can take any deal and do four to eight shows.
That story does stand out as a story that could be told over certainly over the space of three or four episodes, the story of Emmett Till, because I think it's particularly shocking because it's a kid, you know, it's a 14-year-old boy that essentially gets lynched, and it does kind of hit you in the face with how scary it can be.
Unintended.
What's that?
Hitting in the face.
I missed that.
That's the kid with is that a different kid?
Yeah.
That's my son.
That's him.
Your son played that kid? Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Wow. So is that a fan? Who else was in the movie that is related to you?
Just me. I think I'm kidding myself, but my wife and son are extraordinary actors. He's been acting off Broadway since he was 10. So he'll be 20 in a few months. So he's been doing it since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so he does a great job.
You sympathize for the child, obviously. And then as well, the mother that had to kind of, you know, piece her. I can't imagine what kind of world she had to live in after that.
I mean,
like I says, I only kind of found out that those stories were true after watching Justice on Trial. I thought, like, come on. Like, and that just kind of shows how out of the way we are here in Scotland, that we just don't see it, so we don't know that it exists. But for something like that to happen in 2020, on our end of things, it would be like, that thing, it would be everywhere, because it's just something that just doesn't happen, you know? So I suppose that really does serve a purpose, these stories in Justice on Trial, because these things actually happen. Because to me, I was just like, come on. But Jordan was like, no, these things happened. I'm like, what? Just, that's how foreign it is to us, that it just really, we don't see that, eh? Which is a shame. Well, I mean, it's a shame that we don't know about it. I think these things...
It's good you don't deal with it. You don't have to.
I think the UK as a whole, it does have some issues with racism. We don't, I mean, I think Scotland in particular, we don't have a huge black population, to the point where, I mean, personally, like me, when I'm walking up the street and I see a black person or a black family, I go, wow, there's a black family. It's so rare. I mean, I think I live in the country now, though. I think maybe in the cities there is a higher population, but I think it's just the Windrush generation where we got a lot of the kind of Jamaican immigrants and stuff like that. I think it was more focused down in England, London, things like that. Populations down there are much bigger, and that's where the issues really are in this country with regards to race. So it's something that we don't have to contend with on a daily basis. So it was very eye-opening to see how horrific things can actually get when it comes to race relations in the United States. Obviously, we do see in the news the George Floyd case was the kind of first one that we seen over here.
Breonna Taylor as well, though.
The Breonna Taylor stuff, I seen more of that online as opposed to in mainstream news. But the George Floyd story made mainstream news here. Mm-hmm. It's very eye opening.
When you think about what racism is, though, it's almost childish. Like, oh, you're different. This creates an issue. You know what I mean? Which you would think, you know, anybody that would call themselves an adult would just look past anything as stupid as that. I don't know, maybe that's just a Scottish thing, but like we're all for live and let live and just spread the love, you know what I mean?
Well, it's really insane because we're all one race, and that's the human race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all bleed the same. We have emotions and the same emotions. And, you know, in my early years, when I was in college at Florida A&M University, I too worked as an investigator at a law firm at the time. And it was me, and then it was a white investigator. And because, you know, there was such a racial divide, we got along fine, but he had a family member to die. And he was like crying and carrying on. And I was shocked. I was like, I didn't know white people cry like that when their, you know, family died. He was like, hey, we feel this. We hurt just like you are.
Yeah.
When black people die, we going to get all in the casket and oh, Jesus. and they were doing that. I was like, what?
Yeah, we've all got the same emotions. And it's, like Kevin said, the idea of racism being as prevalent in a modern society is just, it doesn't compute.
Right.
But obviously it happens, but we just can't fathom why it so happens.
And from our end, right, in the UK, if if Jordan and I were out at a pub and we saw a black man at a bar being you know, targeted by a Caucasian guy with racism, we're more than likely we're absolutely going to side with the guy that's, because he's being done wrong for no reason. So we're absolutely going to side with the guy that's getting the grief for no reason. So that kind of speaks to how, you know, it's a case by case. This person at the bar is being griefed for something that makes no sense. You know what I mean? So that's where we'd probably be, hey, you know what? Fuck off. You know what I mean? Yeah. Leave them. Guys just trying to have a beer. You're the asshole. And I think that's kind of the way us personally and anybody we know, anybody we mix with, is always just a... In Scotland, it comes down to this. Who's being a dick and who's not? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That is the only way there's going to be an issue. You know, right. you could be an alien for outer space, but if you're a dick, you get heated.
It's funny you say Scotland. My wife and son did this DNA thing. Yeah. So my mom's father is a white guy.
Oh, nice.
And so... So they did our like lineage, and so part of my family is Scotland.
nice. Do you know which part?
There we go. This.
I don't know. I'll let you know. But so my wife always teases me about that.
Yeah.
with your Scottish self.
You need to invest in a kilt.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, everybody looks good in a kilt, man. There's no divide there. the movie itself, now obviously it's finished, it has been released, and it definitely is on the UK's Amazon Prime.
You told me it wasn't when we were trying to find it initially.
I don't think so.
You did. I was like it's on Amazon Prime, but then you sent me the link. So for everybody listening,
I just looked at the link.
You should go ahead and go to Amazon Prime and check out Justice on Trial, the movie 2020.
So is there anything, looking back on the finished product, is there anything that you would do differently now, given the chance? Or do you think, no, that's the movie I'm happy with?
Well, we took some things out. Like at the end, the lawyer that you said was a bad guy. At the end, we had him saying, as he's walking out the courthouse, impeach. No, I'm going back to Washington now, you know, because that really would have fitted in.
Yeah. that's true.
I would have to do it again. There's some things cinematically that I may focus in. Would have focused in on a little differently, but for the most part, no. The story is true to what it is. Maybe extended a little bit of the jury scene some more, but you know, I didn't direct it. I just wrote it, and so the director felt that the jury scene did not need to be any longer. So. Yeah. But for the most part, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, I quite like the jury part, because that's kind of where you were seeing all the different stereotypes of different people, and I kind of like the banter between them was quite funny.
Now the play is more funnier than the movie.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting to see the play. Is there any footage online of the play, or is it just?
It's available on Amazon. I'm sorry. It's available on Vimeo.
Vimeo, right.
Yeah. You can rent the play on Vimeo.
Right. Oh, that's pretty cool. Maybe need to check out the play.
It could be interesting to compare them side by side to see the differences. Obviously, you're forced to make certain creative changes when you're converting from one media to another. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to see the original version in all its light and glory.
With the play is much more comical though, like with the jury scene, it's amazing to see such a serious subject and to be able to put so much comedy in the jury scene and still get the message across. We got fighting and everything in the play. Like the black lady actually jumps on the white lady that when she tells her She said, honey, I done had enough of you. So she jumped across the table at her. Yeah. They, so keep her from getting her. And then she says, the white lady says, I ain't worried, honey. I got a gun on me. And I'll shoot you dead and I'll never do a day in jail. That's the reality.
Never do a day in jail.
Yeah, that's a thought-provoking statement.
Yeah. Another white guy that's in the jury in the play, he's like, you remember Carol Burnett, the Carol Burnett show years ago? She had a character, I can't even think of his name now, but Tim Conway, he's so funny. When the black lady jumps up to fight the white lady, her wig comes off. So while they're deliberating, he's putting her wig on and he's like styling it.
Did you take a lot of inspiration when you, like, who kind of was your inspiration in regards to writers that you drew from in order to kind of write this into a movie, into a screenplay? Was it like for us, like we love people like Scorsese, Danny Boyle and stuff like that. So if we were to kind of make a movie, we would maybe look to that for inspiration. Who was that for you?
Steven Spielberg, Michael Moore.
Michael Moore.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That would make sense. Actually, Michael Moore, the Bowling for Columbine. I rented that movie back when Amazon was doing a DVD rental service. So it was a while ago.
Yeah, love film.
I genuinely, when I seen, you see the cover art for the video, you just see him, this kind of weird looking guy holding up the bowling ball and it's the earth in his hand, mm-hmm. I think, and just his Bowling for Columbine. I assumed it was like a comedy film, like Kingpin or something. And then I put it on and I got this absolute powerhouse documentary. The guy knows how to get a story out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, things like,
and of course, I think Harry, may be familiar with him. He, did you guys get The Blacklist over there?
It's a TV show. Yeah.
He plays Henry Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
He's also one of the executive producers and a business partner of mine. Oh, and right. So he too gives me, I call him my Hollywood mentor.
Hmm.
Yeah, he gets a lot of insight as well.
Oh, wow,
it's always good to have somebody like that on your side in that business. I'm assuming.
Sure,
absolutely.
Hmm.
And then we have another movie out. Well, just to let you know, and it's on. I believe it's on Amazon, and if not Amazon, I know it's on BET Plus.
Hmm.
It's called Trouble.
Of Waters.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, Jordan?
Nope. Is that coming or is it out already?
Yeah.
Out on BET Plus for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That platform, Trouble Waters. And then we have the movie Revival. That's out on Amazon.
All right. And how different from
keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
How different from Justice on Trial are these? Is it something along the same kind of vein or?
No. Justice on Trial, of course, you know, is social justice.
Yeah.
Revival is it's the story of Jesus Christ, but with pretty much a predominantly black cast, black Jesus.
Probably how it was in real life then.
Exactly. Case,
right. Jerusalem.
You must be a prophet, a man of God.
it's always funny. I mean, obviously, in the West, we've got this image of Jesus, this kind of long hair,
like Mel Gibson, like, behind you,
blue-eyed boy.
Yeah,
a bit like Mel Gibson.
Right.
And obviously, it just, there's no way that would have been the case. But that's what we're fed.
Every day.
Yeah, and then Trouble Waters is about a comedian that had a good run, but he had a problem being faithful to his wife, and then he just kind of his career went down, and he got a second chance to start back over again in Hollywood, and then you just have to see what happens with his second chance.
We'll need to check that out. Okay, this sounds interesting.
Yeah, we will. Could you, if you could, just email us those movie titles again, just to make sure that they're set in stone for us.
We'll
definitely have a look. Just to kind of wrap up quickly, looking back on your experience in making the movie, what was your favorite part? Was there a scene that you filmed that was just so much fun to film, or was there something that when you were making it, you just knew it was going to impact hard?
Well, the Emmett Till story. It's my personal favorite, plus The Jury. To me, those two things were the most impactful to me, because Emmett Till's story is so relevant as today that we see that same, again, the same treatment. I mean, to take a 14-year-old boy to have the audacity and temerity to drag him out of his uncle's house, to shoot him, gouge out his eyes, tie him to the back of a truck, drag him down the road, then beat him profusely, and then put him in the river. It's just inconceivable.
Mm-hmm.
So that story touches me all the time, because we've seen that with Trayvon Martin. We've seen that with a young man here in the States, in Georgia, that was just jogging down the street in his neighborhood. And you had two white guys from the country that were riding in their truck, and they thought he shouldn't be jogging down the road, and they took target practice at him and shot him. Who does that? You know, so that story is a story that we just have to, you know, keep telling until it stops.
Mm-hmm.
And jury deliberation, of course, and you said it before, with the diversity of opinions and thoughts. I love that. I love hearing how people think, you know, even the part where the lady was speaking in Spanish and she was like, I don't understand a word you're saying, honey. You're in America. You're supposed to speak English. That's how certain people think, you know. And so it's the reality, the part where you saw where they burned up Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they took the planes, the airplanes, you know, 9/11 was not the first time that someone took an airplane and became a terrorist.
Mm.
It happened with prejudiced, racist white Americans that could not stand the fact that there was a Black community that was standing independently and successfully without them. And they came in and stole their planes and ran them into their cities and killed 400 or so families. This is a reality. These are facts. So those were my favorite parts. Of course, the end of it, of course.
Mm, yeah.
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 Sad when you think about the world that we actually live in. Eh?
Yeah.
All the horrible things that kind of go on. I mean, everything. Yeah. But I still truly believe, though, that there's more good in the world than there is bad. Hard to see it, but I truly believe that.
And there's more white people in America that are good than bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, it's more white people than it is Black people that's out marching.
Probably.
You know, we can't do this by ourselves. It's a collaborative effort of white and Blacks. And they're bad Black people, and they're bad white people. They're bad Asian people. They're bad people of all races. But I think the majority of it is America has taken a stand. We see that when we voted Trump out. you know, and, yeah. and what, that's a favorite part of the movie where it changes the sign from Pennsylvania Avenue to Black Lives Matter Boulevard in front of his the White House. And if
say that again, sorry.
And in front of Trump Plaza here in New York.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Was the show, huh?
I mean, the film definitely makes an impression. Like I said, like you said yourself, I think if you had more money to play with, it could have been a bigger spectacle. But it's it does have a message. And again, if anybody who's listening to this wants to watch it, it is there to be seen. And people can make their own minds up on it. But you did it, man. You went out and you made a movie. That must feel good.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, in America, a low budget movie is considered anything under $2 million. So there's some people that make movies for $5,000, you know. So, you know, just the fact that we could make a movie, you know, in a quality film, you know, for a couple of $100,000 speaks volumes to me that it's done. Nelson Mandela once said that anything seems impossible until it's done. And that absolutely seemed impossible to me until it was.
I suppose there's nothing better than that.
I mean, I suppose it would, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to make a film before you know what it's like to make a film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we look forward to doing at some point. It's in the pipeline. It's definitely something that we're looking forward to.
Absolutely. So we're going to check out the previous two movies that you made as well, and maybe put it out to our listeners to kind of go out and check it out and let us know what they thought of it. I quite like the idea of the Jesus one. I've always kind of imagined Jesus being Morgan Freeman ever since I watched Bruce Almighty, and I quite I mean, tell me, have you ever seen Jesus portrayed, or sorry, God portrayed better than Morgan Freeman?
Oh yeah, I mean right. he's excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you guys, you know, celebrate East. I don't know if you guys celebrate Easter.
Oh yeah.
So this Easter, we're planning a big virtual movie day.
Hmm.
And hopefully you guys can participate in
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just going to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. That'll be cool. Definitely. We'll come along. Yeah. Absolutely.
Dr. Khan, I don't know if you know. Dr. Khan.
Do you know Dr. Khan?
She's an American singer. Has a lot of hits.
Hmm.
Michelle Williams. Are you familiar with Destiny's Child?
Yeah, yeah.
She's mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's several people that are in it and doing a fine job. The guy that plays Jesus is Molly Music.
Hmm.
And Google him, Molly Music. Wow. And great job.
Oh, nice. I'm looking forward to watching it. And we always, on our show, we always kind of talk about the things that we've been watching recently. So on one of our future episodes fairly soon, we'll be able to kind of talk a little bit about that so our listeners can kind of go and check that out also. And we'll make sure to send that across to you.
Awesome, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
my you could be my Scottish cousin.
Exactly. Hey, you never know. We could be related, right?
We might be. So Chad, thanks very much for coming on. It was a blast speaking to you.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, it's well done for making a movie. It's no easy feat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And So for everybody listening, you can go ahead and check out Chad's movie Justice on Trial, which is on Amazon Prime, and you can find that everywhere, not just in the US. And we'll be sure to make sure to get all the feedback and pass that along to Chad himself.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks again, Chad. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, mate. Catch up with you soon. Thanks again. Huge thanks to Chad there for coming on the Jibber Jabber podcast and giving us his time. This guy made a movie from his own budget. I mean, that kind of tells you the kind of heart and soul that went into, you know, creating a movie. I mean, I know for a fact that I'd need an investor for the movie I want to make.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he said he spent several hundred thousand dollars of his own money making this movie. I mean, those numbers, like I said during the interview, they just don't compute in my head. So when you hear that a Marvel movie takes takes $300 million to make, and you go, yeah, well, it's a Marvel movie. But if we're trying to make a film, you think, well, all we need to do is buy some cameras, some sound equipment, maybe pay a few people. We could probably make a film for, what, 10 grand? And then he's talking about spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own money. It's terrifying. It's a huge leap of faith. I mean, he is a man of God, but it must take a huge leap of faith to actually have the balls to go out and do it. So yeah, well done for it, man. It's like I said, the movie itself has got an interesting message. There's some pretty harrowing stories in there, and stories that we have to remind people are true. We don't see anything like that where we happen to be in this part of the world. So definitely an eye opener.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least take that away from it, if nothing else, that, you know, the world is a crazy place, and let's just look out for each other, you know, regardless of anything. If you don't have a real problem, it's no worth getting all heated about it, you know. And race, which again, Chad said it himself, there is one race, and that's the human race. So let's just remember to be kind and love one another.
Yeah. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Exactly. And on that note, I'd like to remind you that you can go to Facebook and like our page, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which you'll see below you. If you go ahead and do that, go to www.jibberjabberpodcast.com, where you can find all our socials. Get involved, get in touch, let us know what you think. And we're looking forward to the next episode. J-Mac, you looking forward to the next episode? We have Armageddon coming up, the deep dive of an absolute classic.
Yeah, an absolute bollock of a film, but it's just so good.
It's great. There's a movie, there's a song in that I'm really looking forward to rewatching and hearing. It's Remember Me by Journey. Now that I've said it, you'll remember it. For you guys that are listening at home, thank you for listening today. And remember, go watch Armageddon. Keep it fresh in your mind.
Armageddon!
Hit us up with the comments to let us know what you thought about it. Give us your take. We'll read that out on the show when we record it. Armageddon is coming up next, so go watch it so you can enjoy it like we will, and
you'll be Armageddon it soon.
Armageddon it, you're really getting it. See you next week.
Bye bye.